Hello and welcome back to WNGS Radio, episode 10. And I still have the pleasure of sitting here with Novak. And now we're going to kind of do more of a one-on-one conversation so we can get to know Novak better. Welcome back, Novak.
Thanks.
What is it, would you say, that you do here in NGS?
Oh, man. Yeah, you name it. I've done a little bit of everything. The main things I do, though, is most importantly, try to keep Coraline from, scaring everybody. I'm a capo. I coordinate the TIFO every year. I've been known to drum a time or two.
B-Squad.
B-Squad. Yeah, exactly. Not very well all the time, but I put in an effort. And then just...
That's the important thing.
Exactly. And then I run the website, and then whatever else Cass tells me to do is what I do. So
that's pretty much what we all do.
Yep.
I want to talk about the website really quick.
Okay.
What does it mean to run the Northern Guard website?
Well, I want to point out that as of right now, this date, it's up and running.
Good. Is there another website we can go to check the status of the W or the NGS website?
Yeah. Let me tell you the backstory of that is we were running our merch off of like some third party, like Big Cartel or something, right?
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah, this was way back in the days. And we didn't have a website. There was no place to find out about NGS except maybe on Twitter, which isn't always a good place to find out information. You know, there was a little bit about on a Facebook, but it wasn't getting updated. And I thought, why don't we just put together something that has, a list of chants, maybe where you're supposed to show up before games, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so I just, we
threw
all
something
do.
Together.
Yeah, we just threw something together, right? And I just sent a message to, Gene and Ken was like, hey, this is a thing I did.
Yeah.
And they were like, who are you?
Did Dean help out on that too?
So I kind of threw it together, and then Dean and I worked together. Dean was like a lifesaver because there was a lot of issues
He contacted me about getting photos for the site.
Yeah, yeah. There was, I was good enough to have the idea about it. and then Dean came in and untangled the box of Christmas lights that I had just created, So we did that, and then we turned in, we got the store going and everything.
Yeah.
So to what that means now is to just try to keep it updated. Try to keep it running when a lot of people all crowd through the door at the same time to try to buy a t-shirt,
Yeah. Website, if it was the real world size, it'd be equivalent to Detroit City's storefront. Just this tiny little room. Only so many people could fit in there.
Yeah.
We'll cram as much as we can, but eventually it's going
to
fill up.
Exactly. And I like to think about the website like I think about my 97 Buick Century that I drive, which is if I can keep it together with two hands and some duct tape just long enough to keep running, then
we're good.
Exactly. We're good. We'll get
nothing
there.
To worry about.
Yep. Yep.
So we had some issues with our merch, specifically around Black Friday this year. Can you tell me the process of what happens when you find out shit's on fire? How does it start? How do you resolve it? Where do we end up?
Okay. So usually here's how it goes. So either I realize that it's down, or Jackie will send me a message and say that it's down. The first thing I do is swear really loudly. And then Coraline puts me in timeout for saying a soccer word. And then the idea is, we host everything through GoDaddy right now. I have to get in there and straighten out resources. If I have to turn some things off to make another thing work, I mean, it's a lot of
different plugins.
Yeah. You think of Homer Simpson sitting at the control panel and the nuclear power plant melting down, and he's just pushing buttons as fast as he can. That's pretty much what I'm doing.
Excellent. And it works.
Sometimes it works. Yes.
It might take a little bit.
Yeah.
We have to ask people hey, could you fucking stop refreshing the page?
I have to usually tweet at Hogs and say knock it off. I know you want that t-shirt. Stop, please. Yeah.
That's really funny. Okay. So that's one of your big responsibilities with Northern Guard. And so then the other thing kind of mentioned was TIFO. Mm-hmm. What is TIFO?
Oh, my goodness.
Let's start with, like, the basics. What is TIFO?
So TIFO is, and you can correct my interpretation of, you know, the definition of it, but TIFO is the giant banner that we unfurl at the home opener every season. And typically it's hand-painted. It's ridiculously large. You could use it to tent your house if you're spraying bugs. It's a celebration of the club and the upcoming season is the idea. You know, it's not something, it's not intended to be something that's negative, or to speak against, you know, one of our opponents. It's, you know, it's like I said, a celebration of our club and the season that we're about to embark on.
And I agree. That's definitely how we choose to look at it. It's, at least in the United States, usually TIFO is reserved for supporting your club. Mm. You don't use it to shit on other people. You don't use it for, well, you do. You can use it for inside jokes, but usually there's pop culture references on them or something that relates to, like, the culture of your club. And that's what we've always done, is kind of relate it to the culture of the club, whether it was, you know, we call our players the boys, or we had TIFO that had Caesar that was, like, what, like 100 times real scale?
Yeah, exactly.
It was massive.
Exactly.
And then the most recent one was, like, all of our club's jerseys throughout the history. I forgot exactly. Do you remember what was said on that
one? It was
one?
Just can't get enough.
Just can't get enough, which is another. That's actually a chant.
Right, right. Yeah, that was one of those things where we had, you know, and it's typically part of the process, is going through designs and going in, and more importantly, tweaking the phrasing on them.
Yeah.
And that was one of those things where we went back and forth on the phrasing. But yeah, this past year it was the six jerseys of, you know, the past six seasons of City, and a representation of a player in each one of them, including the first season where we had the crest on the wrong side.
Yeah.
We made sure to do that. And we had actually started working on that prior to the kit unveiling this year.
Oh, so you had to leave one.
And so we left one blank. And if you were at Smalls that night, you would see me, like, almost on stage,
like taking
like 100 photos, because I knew the next day we had to go to the Bauhaus and, like, try to paint this onto, you know, a 12 foot tall jersey.
That's so funny. That's really good. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's really funny. So you just had to leave one blank. Was the TIFO done pretty much by that point?
I mean, it still had, you know, it some touches to do, but yeah, we were fortunate enough to be a little bit ahead. You know, we still had to trace that on there, you know, so we had traced everything, and we had started painting some sections of it. You know, we still had to do a bleacher cover last year too. So that was a big part of,
Do you want to explain what the bleacher covers are?
Yeah. So, parts of the supporter section, have traditionally not been completed, or, you know, available for people to sit in. So the club 2 years ago, and I think Jen talked a little bit about this.
Yeah. We had multiple projects.
Yeah. Yeah. And the nightmare that this was, but the club had asked us to put something together, to cover up those areas that were blank.
Okay. So it just didn't look like shit.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So you just don't see a bunch of broken benches. And those, like, vinyl covers you see at, like, major league stadiums where they close off sections are insanely expensive. Like, just to do the Keyworth one, I think they said it was going to be like $35,000.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Not kidding.
Oh my God. So
2 weeks before the Keyworth opener, because everything was done, it seems like two weeks prior.
Yeah. That's how we do everything.
They called, it wasn't just us, like the club, you know, it was like pouring cement.
Oh, the paint
was
still wet.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
some spots. On
yeah. When
day.
We got to Keyworth on opening day at 11 o'clock, they were still pouring cement. But anyway, so 2 weeks before the season opener, you know, I get a call and said, hey, you know, we need something to cover this section, you know, and it was the two sections at either end. And it ended up being, God, I'm trying to remember the square footage. It was something like 10,000 square feet. I mean, it was insanely huge.
That you guys had to paint.
That we had to now order fabric, paint, like design, you know, with 2 weeks. And
that's crazy.
There was almost dead supporters, because we almost murdered each other. but we made it through and got it done, yeah. So
So now we know what TIFO are. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the process, how we get from conception to it hanging out on the field or people holding it up or doing whatever they do with it at the game. What does that look like?
Okay. So the overview is basically that, you know, we'll get a design or we'll get some design ideas. Mm-hmm. Typically, there's one person kind of creating those, and then we'll spitball and, like I said, tweak the phrasing. You know, maybe you tweak some different design ideas, and, mm-hmm. and we all finally will settle on something. And that usually happens about mid-February. And then at that point, we actually trace it onto the fabric. So a lot of people, you know, I've had a lot of people ask about, like, how do you paint a flag or a banner or a TIFO, and they think that, you know, you're just freehanding it on there and you're a really good artist. Like, can you imagine?
No. Right?
Oh, my God. So, you know, what we do is we load the picture onto the laptop, and we have a digital projector, right? And we just project it onto fabric, and it's, like, 8x8 squares.
Okay.
We just roll it like a roll of toilet paper down, you know, against the wall, and we trace, you know, the sideways picture, because the TIFO is actually...
It's long. Well, the ones we've had are long.
Yeah, yeah, and the fabric, so we order them in, like, it's like an 8 foot tall by, like, 100 feet wide roll.
Okay.
So we will trace it on there, and then you just mark it, so that's just colored by numbers, and you can't mess
can't
it up.
Can't fuck that up.
Well, you can. So anyway, so we'll trace. We spend, usually it takes a couple days to do that. You get a trace, and then the one, you know, we learn every year, we learn something new, right? So this past year we learned from doing it the hard way the previous years that you need to sew those things together
first,
and then you can paint because sometimes the tracing process is not perfect. And so in the past we've painted all these strips of fabric and then put them together and realized that they don't always line up. And then you have to bunch them or like repaint, and it's like a total pain in the ass. So
I specifically remember an issue where, like, the scaling was off because the distance of the projector was at a different distance between tracing sessions. So, like, one section of it was, like, normal size, and then another section of it was, like, too big by, like, 25% or something ridiculous.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago when that was the first year we did the digital projection.
Okay.
And someone moved the projector in between days. And we didn't realize it until later. And so, now the other thing we learned is you put caution tape around the projector.
No one can touch
it.
I
am the only person allowed, you know, to touch it, you know. And so that doesn't mess that up. But, so we'll glue it together. We actually glue and then sew, so it keeps it
nice.
So it's
like double reinforced.
Exactly.
And then so you guys do that, then... What's next?
And then you paint. So usually we'll roll it out and, you know, in this big area that we have and just paint, you know, paint by numbers.
Yeah.
And assuming that everybody is
painting,
the numbers correctly and you don't assign, this is another, I learned this year, I'll put in place next year. Don't assign the guy who's colorblind to do the sections of blue because he can't see he can't tell the difference between the dark blue and the light blue.
Oh my God.
So,
just unforeseen problems.
Yeah. Sorry, Tim. That's my fault. That was a project management failure, not, you know. So, but anyway, so yeah, I mean, it's like, it's paint by numbers.
Okay.
And, you know, everybody comes out, even the kids come out and do it. You know, my daughter has come out and done it. And, you know, lots of people bring their kids on the weekends. It's kind of like just a fun, that's the most fun part about it, is just getting everybody
together
out there, getting together,
together
and getting messy and painting it.
Cool. And so then now it's painted.
Mm-hmm.
How heavy is it?
Oh my God. I remember Cass saying in the previous episode that she lifted the whole, one of those whole things by herself, which I don't know how she did it. Like,
she
summoned like incredible Hulk strength. I have two because these are in my garage
now.
And I've had to move them, but they are really heavy. You know,
they're unbelievably heavy. Like over 100 pounds heavy.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Uh-huh. So, you know, but they are incredibly heavy because this is cotton fabric. It's like cotton poly, you know, it's not light fabric because it's the cheapest fabric. So, and then, you know, you add, in this case, this past year, like just latex.
The entire thing was painted, right?
The entire thing was painted and it was just like latex house paint. So it was, really heavy. So, and a couple coats, you know.
So then you have to, after it's painted, transport it to the field.
Yep.
And then you have to do you guys do test runs, or you just say fuck it, we'll do it live? Or
so this year we just, you know, fuck it, we did the Keith method, you know, we're doing it live. But because we were able to do that because we kind of knew what
you
we
guys
were doing,
did the same execution kind of
exactly,
2 years in a row.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, if that's the way we do it this year,
which it won't be, I refuse.
Listen, we're gonna talk about that because I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
However, and one of the questions somebody asked on Twitter was like, what's your dream? Like Tebow. So,
yeah, I was going to get to that.
If my dream is your dream, I think.
Okay. So here's what my dream is. Okay. We're going to cut in because we were talking about that. In the past 2 years, we've had it on the Keyworth wall behind the net, and it looks great and it looks good in photos and it's cool. In my opinion, my elitist soccer hipster opinion, a TIFO should be over the people, because the word TIFO is actually an Italian word for fan. And so in Italy, the word for multiple fans, like a group of fans or a supporter group, is called tifosi. So in my opinion, the TIFO should and fans should be one. So it just feels wrong to have it over, separated, alone, cold, hanging by itself without any. Well, there's a couple fans on it, like deploying it or whatever. But it, like, TIFO is supposed to be around the supporters, in my opinion.
Yep. No. And I agree with you. I agree with you. And I'll tell you the practical considerations and then also my kind of like justification for it.
Okay.
Which is, it's taken some gymnastics to get in my own head to get there. Okay. but it makes sense in my own head, and I'll say it out loud and it'll probably sound like horse shit. So the practical consideration is, though, that the stands at Keyworth are sloped as such that the angle of the TIFO would not be visible. Like the top of the TIFO or the message, whatever we paint, would not be visible to anybody. Like, you would literally, the only person who'd be able to see it is if we flew a drone over it and took a picture. So it seems...
Which we could do.
We could do, right? But, like, you know, it seems to me a little bit unfair for all these people who put all this hard work into it to have something that, you know, nobody can see. And you're doing this to support the club, to support those players out there who are supposed to be seeing it.
Yeah.
And all they see is, like, this...
Sheet
over the fans, like waving or whatever, like, and they're like, well, what does that even mean?
Okay.
So that's the practical thing. Now, I should say that BJ and I spent a ton of time year before last trying to figure out some way of rigging it up so it would hang off the back of the stands and we could
higher up
to increase the angle.
Yeah.
And we tried like PVC, we tried tent pole, we tried everything.
Yeah.
We couldn't come up with a practical way of doing it. Okay. Ideally, I would love to do it that way. That's my dream. But in the meantime, this is what we have.
Yeah.
So the justification in my head is also that this is a piece of art,
and
you hang pieces of art on a wall, and so it would make sense to hang it on the wall. But also, you know, we have as NGS and as DCFC supporters. We have taken a lot of influences from other places, whether that be Europe or South America or other North American teams or whatever, but we've made them our own in our own traditions.
Yeah.
And so there's it to me, again, this is just me justifying in my own head. It can be our tradition that's the way we do this, right?
You know, we have one over the fans too.
No, I agree. I agree. And I want.
Gotta do something.
Yeah. And I desperately, here's what I desperately want.
And yeah. Back to the question here. Let me pull it up really quickly. If I can find it, I'm going to add in a bunch of, dead air talking.
The Jeopardy music here.
I think
according to my notes, it's Alyssa Schrum, Duchess Taco.
Okay. Yeah. So you got it. Good. Thank you. Yeah, good. You're more prepared than I
brought
am.
Notes.
Let's go.
I brought notes.
Most prepared guest we've ever had.
You know, like I told you earlier, it was completely out of fear because I want to sound as good as like Gene was. Like, and Gene has, you know, like super sharp and is on the ball.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh man, I'm never going to live up to that, but at least I'll bring notes and try to sound all right.
Okay. So Alyssa Schrum, Duchess Taco, _NGS on Twitter.
Oh, no. You know what? I take that back.
Oh.
She said, what's my least favorite part of TIFO? But the one right below it is hogs. who said, what's the ultimate TiVo setup?
Hobbs. There you go. Okay, Hobbs, what's your dream / ultimate setup?
So ultimate setup, we've actually talked to the club and they just laughed me out of the building about this. But what I would love to do is hang like guide wires between the light stands, you know,
the light towers.
And then we could do a vertical display. And then like what you,
like
you know,
Portland or Columbus.
Yeah, because you could see it, you know, and then over the fans, we could have some additional
color or exactly, whatever. Yeah,
exactly. But, you know, then it satisfies, you know, we check all the boxes, right?
Everyone's happy, except the club.
Right. The problem, of course, is that it's, like, insanely tough to do. It's expensive to run those. I don't want any of our supporters putting themselves at risk, you know, climbing up a light tower or something. So I think that's going to continue to be a dream. But in my head, it sounds awesome, you know.
Have, like, a pulley system. And...
Yeah, I think you would have to unveil it horizontally.
Okay.
Like you would kind of fold it up like curtains, you know?
Okay, and then just like pull it over.
Yeah, like slide it sideways. Like
I've always seen them. They usually pull it vertically when they have a pulley system.
Oh, yeah, you could do it that way too. Yeah, I was just thinking of like the easiest way, you
just
know?
Just get like
hook hook carabiners. it's just like a, you know, like a shower curtain, you know? Just like slide it sideways, like no problem, you know?
That's really funny.
So...
okay, so then let's go to Alyssa's question, which was, what is your favorite and least favorite part of the TiVo process?
My least favorite part was, I had to think about my favorite part because there's so many, I actually...
Because I hate it all!
Well, no, it depends on what time of year you ask me. If you ask me right afterward, you know, Kristen, my wife will tell you that I quit TiVo every year. I'm like, I'm never doing this again, this is awful. And she just rolls her eyes and says, yeah, I'll ask you again in like January. But my least favorite part is all the logistics that go with it. I can't even tell you how many hours I spent at the paint counter at Walmart this year. Like, it was ridiculous. All that stuff is horrible.
Do you guys buy pre-mixed colors or do you make your own?
Yeah.
Both.
This year we bought pre-made because we realized in previous years we made, not to get too bogged down in the details, but in previous years we bought like art paint and the palette was limited.
Yeah.
And so we had to you remember the gloops?
Dude, I was master glooper.
You were like the king of the gloops, you know? We were writing down like, okay, four
How
gloops.
How many gloops to make this color?
Four
of each
gloops
one.
Of white, five gloops of rouge, you know? But this year we found that it was actually half as expensive to buy pre-made like
vinyl
paint, you know, like
or latex based paint.
Yeah, and then even cheaper if you know, for the blacks and whites and stuff, to go to like the scratch and dent aisle at Walmart and you get it for like $6 a gallon. So, but anyway, that's like my least favorite part. I hate it.
The planning.
My favorite, you know, like when everybody gets there and it's a sunny day. And you've got the TiVo rolled out.
Yeah, usually it's like spring.
Yeah.
So it's like finally nice again. Winter's over.
And everybody's just like painting, you know, and just having a good time.
Everyone brings food. It's like
TiVo
pick. You eat lunch on the TiVo.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, everybody's joking around and telling funny stories. And, you know, it's awesome. That's just the best part. It's just the camaraderie. I think that's the case with pretty much everything we do outside of like those 90 minutes when the game is going is all the camaraderie that comes with it. That's my favorite part.
How many people would you say meet up and work on the TiVo as you're working on it?
I think overall, and it's usually on any given time, there's, you know, 10, 15 people there maybe at the most. But overall, you know, everybody pitches in. And that's the important thing that I want to note is some people think that just because you can only show up for an hour, that it's not worth their time or that we won't appreciate it.
Yeah.
But like... Every minute you can give to it and show up, even if you can only show up one day for an hour, like, we love it, right? And so I think Amanda had asked on Twitter, you know, was it more important to...
That's what I was looking at.
Yeah, it's more important to raise, like, money and go work a shift or...
Yeah, yeah. Amanda asked if someone could work extra hours to make TiVo cash, like donating to the fund to make a TiVo, which... can cost thousands of dollars, or if they could come help paint, which should they do? Which is more important?
It's always more important to come help.
I agree. We can get the money. Exactly. We can sell stuff and get the money.
Exactly. And that's not even like, you know, I mean, it's always important to have a second set of hands to do.
Or, not to say that we don't need the money.
Right. But I think there's so many other things that come into the TiVo process, and it's not just like the ability to put paint on fabric. But the fact that, like, I personally came into NGS and got involved and met everybody through TiVo.
Yeah.
And I know that I can point out, like, maybe three or four people just from this year who this was, like, their first time. They'd come to games, but this was their first time, like,
NGS,
getting involved.
Shit,
yeah. And now they're, like, you know, really friends with everybody and whatever. And that happens every year. There's a group of people who they come to NGS and become really involved through that process.
Yeah.
And so outside of just getting work done or whatever, that's the most, that's what's really important about becoming, you know, part of this group. Yeah.
Are you guys looking for more help?
Always looking for more help. Yeah.
I think every aspect of Northern Guard almost is looking for more, whether it's drummers or help with merch or the TIFOs or anything like that. Everyone's looking for more help.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, don't be afraid to like jump in and say, hey, I see that there's this gap missing and we maybe could do this, or, you know, I'm interested in this thing, and, you know, contact me, contact
anybody. How does someone like contact you?
The best way to do it is on Twitter.
What's your Twitter?
Joseph Slovak. Okay. So JosephSlowV as in Victor, AK.
Cool.
Send me a message. And you know, if it's not something related to one of the specific things that I do, I can tell you who that person is, you know. Yeah. And if you, and you can, you can.
And I was gonna say that too, if someone doesn't remember that, they can always contact Northern Guard. Mm-hmm. And we'll send them the proper direction.
Yeah So we'll be ramping up TIFO here in the next month or so, and getting involved and rounding up the troops, kind of, you know, thing. So but if you're interested, you know, even, like I said, even if, you know, you can be there all the time, you can be there just a little bit of time, We're happy to have any help we can get.
Cool. That's awesome. I'm going to jump back to the website really quick too. Sam, TacoMan_NGS. Mm-hmm. If you had unlimited budget, which is including time and money, for our website, what would you do with it?
This is dangerous because I know Sam's a web developer. Yeah. And so I'm going to take you up on your offer of unlimited time and resources, Sam. a couple things I want. And I would love there to be a photo and video archive of our history.
Yeah. Something that you and I have talked about with a couple people.
Yeah. I would love there to be a written, history. You know, we have what's on the Wikipedia page or whatever kind of on there, and it gives a little description of our group. But I would love to be able to maybe put my journalism degree to use for once in my life and talk to Gene and Ken, you know, and write something up to have that and give a little more color to our group.
Yeah.
But I think more practically, you know, info on away days, info on game day experience, you know, show up to this, here's the bars, you know, that people go to, here's when the march starts, those kind of things. The practical things that people look on the website for, are, you know, some of that stuff's on there. It needs improvement, but, we could definitely make that better. But what, you know, my pie in the sky dream would be to have all that plus a native mobile app that somebody put together, a Hell's Hymnal app on like iOS a couple years ago. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I would love that to be
updated,
and I would also love it to be on Android.
He was only an iOS developer.
Yeah, it was only iOS, right? And so, you know, we need if you're an iOS developer, please contact me at Joseph Slovak on Twitter. You know, those kind of things would be awesome if we had, you know, unlimited resources and time.
I agree. Again, yeah. I'm like, there's so much that I would love to document, have a repository for like city content that we could just pull from whenever we needed to do something.
Yeah. Oh, also NGS merch team, if you're listening, a store that doesn't crash. That'd be great too.
Yeah, let's get someone on that. I'm going to get back to TiVo.
Cool.
We kind of already talked about the challenges in our short disagreement. But NGS Monk, Jim, asked, what are the challenges for our large TIFO over the East stands?
I think the big thing is, the viewing angle. Yeah, I mean, if we could have figured something out, we would have done it already, for sure. But, like I said, I think we're all in agreement that that would be the best situation if we could do it.
Yeah.
We just can't do it, you know.
At Mental Absence, Dan McGee asked, what is the brainstorming process like for TIFO designs?
So usually, we'll get a few ideas from the designer, and then from there, there's maybe, I think last year we had like 6 options.
Okay.
And some of them were, so we ended up with, the jerseys, right?
Yeah.
And I, just to give you a little like insight into, a sneak peek into what we did have. I mean, there was the jerseys, there was flags, there was all kinds of other different stuff. So we, we kind of went back and forth and picked, and usually what it ends up being is a little bit of a Frankenstein between
different designs.
We like this part of this one and that part of that one, and like, okay, send it back to, and get it all kind of pushed together. And then there's been times when we've literally, like, while we're tracing, gone like, oh, this phrasing doesn't work for one reason or another. Like, we need to change what it's saying
halfway through the process.
Yeah. And so, it's less brainstorming than just like, I think, spitballing is the way,
just throwing stuff at a wall, so to speak, until it sticks.
Exactly. So that's more what it's like, and I think it's probably the same process with like banners and everything else. It's like, just kind of like, all right, we got this right idea. Let's kind of all put our heads together. And
I know when we make banners, we're just like, we're watching The Simpsons.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Or something. And we're like, we need a, like, this would be a really good two stick.
Right. Oh,
we just
God.
Need to like change it around a little bit. So that's segue into my next question from JX82. What NGS or city meme would make the best TIFO or banner?
Okay, so I think everybody is in agreement that Lansing blew a 3-0 lead would be a good one, even though we don't play Lansing anymore. However, my wife already actually made a Lansing blew 3-0 lead banner. It's hanging on my basement wall because for Socktoberfest,
the joke's never going to get old.
Yeah, I know. For Socktoberfest, we named our team that.
Yeah.
And so Kristen had made a banner to hang at Socktoberfest while we were playing.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, okay, I remember that banner.
But I think that, we could definitely do that. I did write a few down. Mondi with the right foot would be a good one.
That'd be
a
good one.
Yeah.
It'd be good if he came back. We could do that one.
Yeah. And, if we could somehow make a Seb Harris banner with an arm that windmilled, that would be amazing.
That reminds me of like what they do in Europe. Like the big one that's in, like, if you look up like supporter TIFO video on YouTube or Facebook or wherever, they have one where there's like a battleship shooting a castle.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
And it's like animated, and it's like it's the size of the entire stand.
Oh man.
And so like one side's a battleship, and then there's like a castle fort sort of thing, and so the ship actually shoots like cannonballs out of itself, and it moves.
Oh,
like there's
gosh.
Like people holding like sticks with cannonballs and then it hits the castle, and then like then they add on another layer over the castle, and it's the castle that's all like blown up and on fire.
Oh,
and then they
man.
Pop smoke around it, so then it's like smoldering castle, and then the ship, like the sails are like the crest of the team or whatever, and the castle was the opposing team.
Okay, so I changed my mind about what my dream TIFO is. It's that,
dude. It's like one of the coolest ones. But like, yeah, we could like do an animated like Seb windmill arm.
That'd be awesome, right?
But like the size of the stands, that'd be so good.
And then anything related to four minutes and 51 seconds, would be a good one too.
Yeah. So I dropped a photo of that, and then Red posted something about that, but not everyone might know what 451 is. Mm. Do you want to explain 451 really quick?
Yeah. So the Ann Arbor game we were talking about in the last episode where it got rained out, right?
Ann Arbor home season.
Yeah, exactly. So when, when we had that monsoon and Keyworth did not drain, and the turf bubbled up, we made it 4 minutes and 51 seconds into that game before the game got called. Well, I guess before it got delayed and then delayed and then delayed and then called. But hardly any of the supporters left the stands. It was like torrential downpour, and everybody was standing there just like cheering. We did Tetris. I thought someone was going to die because there were people in the north like standing on the benches doing Tetris while it was like pouring down rain.
Yeah.
But it was like nothing I'd ever seen. You know, I mean, you know, I remember being at the Erie, I think it was Erie or Binghamton rain game, like the first year of Cass when it was nuts.
That was eerie.
Yeah, and that was like stood out as like the rain game to me for a long time. But yeah. 451 this year, it wasn't even a game, you know. But
it was not a game,
you know. And there's actually a crew of guys who came with Red to that game. That was their very first game.
Okay,
and they stood there the whole time. You know, a lot of like casual people who maybe had just that's their first experience with something. They would see like, oh my god, it's raining. I'm getting out of here. Yeah. You know. But they stood there and they sat and they stood with us and chanted for, you know, that, and they were hooked. They all came to every game after that.
Yeah.
And so that number, you know, kind of, it stands out, as a reminder of like the passion around the
dedication
club.
Dedication to the club. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to switch gears. We're going to talk about who Tim is.
Oh God.
and all the other, who's Tim?
The stuff I, you know, so you're talking about all the stuff I take medicine for now to like control all those voices in my head. So Tim, so I used to have this job where I had some free time during the day. And so I used to create these Twitter accounts that would, you know, parody other local NGS outcomes.
Troll account.
Yeah, they were troll accounts, yeah. They're parody. Hey, listen.
But they were great.
When I had to justify it to Twitter, they were called parody accounts. So the first one I ever created was the Michigan Stars, or the No Stars, I call them. Michigan No Stars. And I created a character named Tim. And Tim worked at Applebee's, and Tim was, I was trying to find like the most bland, like the whole thing about those guys were that they were like this vanilla suburban club.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, kind of the antithesis.
They played in Berkeley. Working.
Yeah. And so I created that they had one supporter and his name was Tim, and he was very passionate.
He did everything for the club.
Yeah. He ran the social media. He did like everything. So, but it kind of took on a life of its own because, you know, mostly because of his relationship with Applebee's, because that's where he worked. I said, you know, and the Applebee's social media account, like,
this was before
along.
Applebee's had a really good social media account too.
Yeah.
And then they got one and then they played along with it.
Yeah. And so it just kind of, like I said, it took on a life of its own, and Tim was a fully, you know, formed character in my head who, was at the games, and he lived and died with the No Stars, and he, you know, every year when they announced he moved, he would tweet out how close it was to the local Applebee's. But the account also, you know, I think the first year, because, you know, we made like player signing things for them, and we just made absurd,
it was better run than the actual Michigan Stars.
Yeah, that
account.
Was the whole idea. It was a parody of it, but it was actually better run than that. And we made their player cards. And I think, you know, they were absurd characters. Like there was a robot Lionel Messi and the ghost of George Bass and like, you know, stuff. So, but you know, we had a lot of fun with it, but Tim was the one who, you know, kind of the character that held on to that, you know,
that's so funny. Someone asked, Kirk, KBG asked, what was the highest number of troll accounts held by you at any one time?
All right. I counted these before. So I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And I have a never before, I have an announcement.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Okay. So let me just list the troll accounts that I had. So I had the No Stars, of course, we just talked about. I had the Sons of Hanson, who were the parody of the Sons of Ransom. But Chris Hanson from Dateline NBC is from Lansing.
I did not.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And so that's why it was the whole panel van, like that kind of thing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So, so I had that account. I had the Cross Street Hooligans, which are the Ypsilanti chapter of the Main Street Hooligans.
They're my favorite fake SG of yours.
They do not have. They don't
from Ipsy.
They don't have. They're from Ipsy. They don't have a driver's license, so they have to take the bus everywhere.
Oh,
so they
God.
Miss games constantly, and they also miss it because of the bus and because they love Four Loko, and they're constantly passing out from drinking Four Loko and missing games. They missed like three games last season because they were in jail. Like, you know, there's like a whole thing. So, The three that actually, oh no, I'm sorry. And I had USL Detroit when USL was going to show up.
That was your Bucks.
And your Bucks SG. Yeah. And I got a cease and desist because the logo would look too close to the Bucks. But that account is actually still there. But that account started the day they announced that they were going to, this is years ago, they were going to bring USL to Detroit.
That's when Duggan said he was planning on building a soccer specific stadium in 6 months.
Exactly. So I create this account in the morning. And I start tweeting, and I get an email from Sean Mann.
Like you, or me
personally. Okay. I get an email from Sean Mann. And all it said is, I don't want to know. and just a link to that Twitter account.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. So he knew. Yeah. Right. So anyway, I had that account. The two that got shut down were 5 Hour Energy FC,
which was one of my favorites.
They just tweeted in all caps all the time because they were like just
they were wired out. Yeah.
And that was when there was talk of Red Bulls New York moving, and we were trying to attract them to Detroit.
I remember that.
Yeah, and so we were like, we have a local energy drink
company,
like 5 Hour Energy. Like you should make it happen.
Dudes from Farmington Hills.
Yeah, yeah. And so they were not happy, and they got that one shut down. And then
5 Hour Energy. Yeah. Or you don't know who shot you.
No, it's...
But it was probably
Fiverr. It was probably Fiverr, yeah. And then I know for certain that the Great Lakes Premier League shut down my parody account up there.
What was that one?
It was just GL Premier. Like, it was a little too close.
Okay.
And it was... I ran it, like, as a straight... Like, it was...
people took it seriously.
Yeah, I had more
people
followers.
People would follow it.
I had more followers than their actual Twitter account. And I tried to make it, like, really subtle. So, like, the badge... The badge was, like, a sinking ship. And we had a trophy, so I guess it wasn't that subtle, but the trophy that we were going to present at the end of the season was the Edmund Fitzgerald trophy, and like, you know, so the Great Lakes Premier League. So that one got shut down by the league. I know for certain that one got shut down by the league.
That's so funny.
And anyway, so here's the breaking news.
Okay.
So I created a troll account maybe a month or so ago, and it only lived for 2 days.
Okay.
And it was right in the middle of Ted, one of his rants,
okay,
about how we're all just a robot version of you.
Yep.
And so I created a Twitter account called Robot Dion.
Okay.
And all it did was retweet you and the NGS account.
Oh my God. So it was like actually a robot.
It was a robot. And then I had to take it down because the NGS account blocked it, because I was literally just retweeting like whatever. And I only followed Ted and like one other pro rel guy, and like you and the NGS account, and then Ted is the only one who didn't block it, and everybody else blocked it, and I was like, well, what's the point of this like anymore? So I shut it down. So that was short lived.
I think I blocked it because it was just spamming my notifications.
I knew it was only going to live for like a minute.
Yeah,
but really, what I wanted to do was get Ted to like retweet it. Like that was my that was my goal. And he just wasn't playing along.
So let's use this opportunity to explain that.
Okay.
Because I think everyone kind of plays along with it, but no one really knows why that's a thing. Like Dion bot, like we're all Dion.
Yeah.
So Ted, soccer reformer Ted, has this crazy theory that... And I genuinely don't know if he's being serious or if he just says that because that's what he does. Like, he just creates these, like, hyperboles, like, they're just ridiculous. But he might actually believe it. I don't know. He's fucking crazy. That all you guys on Twitter are just accounts that I have created. And I don't know if he thinks that I run them manually or if they're just programmed to say certain things. Like, I don't understand his logic, but like the hundreds of us that there are on Twitter, he thinks that we're all not real.
Yeah.
And that they're just like my spam bot army.
Right. And I've always taken it to be more, like you said, like hyperbole where I don't think he thinks that it's a, I don't think you're sitting here on your couch, like with your 5 phones and your tablet and your laptop running like 100 Twitter accounts. I think that he thinks it's like a Spartacus situation where we're all just like, I don't know, because I can't imagine that someone is that insane.
Yeah.
Right. So that like he would actually think that like you, yeah, like that's your job. You just sit here like, you know, and so I think he just thinks that we're all like
you guys, you're the Jihad Army. Will like say something and like everyone is instructed to go along with it. Right. Like, I think that's probably what he thinks.
We all have our orders. We take them from you. And, you know, like there's a secret, like we have a group text, you know,
like,
and,
all right, go everyone yeah, now go.
Exactly. Oh, I'm going to talk about how ProRel's awful. And, you know, So. Yeah, I think that's always been my take on it.
He also believes that I am working, not working, but like partnered with MLS to undermine NGS and DCFC.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I've had this argument with him on Twitter like many times, and I have friends who are not on like soccer Twitter at all.
Which, like, good for them.
Yeah, well, I had a guy in my hockey team the other day said, who the hell is Ted? And I was like, well, what do you mean? He goes, I just saw you arguing with him. He goes, you're like not, you don't get angry on Twitter a lot, but you were like really saying some mean stuff to this Ted guy. And I don't want to devolve too far into that conversation, yeah. But I don't get how if you're not like 100% with him, then you're against him.
He's like zero sum. Like, yeah, it just doesn't that it. It's damaging to soccer at this level. If you say someone is bad because they don't agree with you 100%, no one's ever going to agree with anyone 100%. So then don't automatically make them the enemy, like find the common ground. Like, I fucking hate MLS, and I hate our federation, and I've hated it since before I started going to Detroit City games. Yeah. Before the first, like, I thought everything was all fucked up here anyway. Yeah. But I'm not spending my day on Twitter advocating for ProRel.
Right. It must be nice for that to just be your job.
Yeah, seriously.
I read that Howler profile. I know how it is. I've screamed.
So, like, find the common ground.
Exactly. I've screamed into my phone more times than I can count, I want to agree with you. Like, and it just doesn't go anywhere, so it doesn't matter.
Let's talk about you being a mole.
Oh, God.
Amanda asked, rumor has it that you're a mole. How much credence can we give to that accusation? Do you want to explain? Here's your opportunity to defend yourself.
Yeah. I don't know. I get the feeling that my phone's going to be blowing up after this goes on the air with Keith, like, just making mole jokes again. I know people.
Super
fancy. No, I should say, like, okay, so for, you know, it just so happens that I have people I know outside of, you know, who I've known for very long times who are involved in other teams in this state or this region. So, for example, a guy I'm friends with from college is a kind of casual fan of Grand Rapids now. He used to be more involved.
Okay.
There would be times when we would, as NGS supporters, be having conversations about Grand Rapids or this or that, and I would know something. And it was like, well, how do you know that? And the same is true for the former Toledo United.
Did they fold?
They did fold. Okay. They were Villa last year. The Toledo United went out of business. But the guy who was the owner of that club was a guy I used to work with and was friends with.
Okay.
Way before DCFC and whatever. So, okay. And that's the case for, like, I know a guy, you know, who goes to Lansing games, you know?
Yeah.
I know. Well, so, you know, Grand Rapids is all I have left now. So, I'll hear something or whatever. And then, you know, the jokes come out. Well, how do you know that? You're obviously a Grand Rapids, Lansing, Toledo, you know, Tim. I know Tim, so I'm a No Stars mole too, you know? So that's how that started. I am most certainly not a mole. At least that's what I'll say.
So that's your defense of your
that's
character.
That's my defense, yes, yeah. I unfortunately, all my character references are made up Twitter accounts, so,
yeah, so
I don't know how that's going
to
go.
If you need to make a reference, just talk to one of them. Exactly. They'll let you know what a good guy you are.
Yeah.
Bill Emerson at EP Bill has a couple questions for you. How important a job is it for a supporter to try to bring more people into the fold, like to bring more people to Detroit City games, or you could even say to TIFO paintings or whatever? How important is that?
I think that's been the key to our growth over the years.
Word of mouth.
Absolutely. the club, you know, for a long time didn't do any advertising. It was all word of mouth, right? Yeah. And so the only way that...
For like 3 years.
Yeah, the only way... And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a commercial during EPL games. It was like 0 to 100.
Yeah, like it was like Soccer Sunday.
Right,
and right. It was on NBC regionally. There was a commercial for... It was like a 30-second spot for Detroit City.
Yeah, yeah. So, but anyway, but so the key to our growth was that... You know, you brought somebody, and then they brought somebody, and then and so on and so forth. And so I was counting. There was 15 people that I've brought to games who are now season ticket holders.
Yeah, he asked you how many do you think you brought in. So 15.
15, yeah, that I can remember. And, you know, that includes, you know, Bill himself and and my parents who are season ticket holders and, you know, all kinds of other folks. So, I think that as a supporter, that's as important as being there and screaming and shouting on game day, you know, is
growing, helping grow the club.
Absolutely. Like, you know, that's a part of, you know, we always talk about like people who just want someone to bestow an MLS club on them.
Yeah.
And the difference between that and us, you know, having something that we can grow ourselves or that we can build ourselves, and being there to paint the benches on Keyworth Volunteer Day or paint TIFO or whatever is as important as building the numbers of people in the stands who can, you know, also help support the club and, you know, help build it themselves. So
yeah.
I think that's our number one job as supporters, is to evangelize for the club and try to bring more people in and, you know, tell them how awesome it is.
John Mozena wants to know, what do I have to do to get Coraline to smile at me?
This is a very easy question. To get Coraline to smile at you, you have to either be Stephanie or Jen, and you have to not be anyone else.
And that's it.
That's it.
It's easy.
If you're Stephanie or Jen, she'll smile at you. If you're anyone else, forget it.
That's super easy.
Yep.
I had another one. Oh, Dean, at Mojo Dean, one of our capos, asked, how do you feel about the NGS parody of yourself called Red Novak?
Oh, my God. I love, by the way, that Red, who is not my cousin, although we share, Novak is like Smith in Eastern Europe, you know? Anyway, he has parody accounts himself.
I have no idea how many he has.
Yeah, I know. I
think his regular account is a parody account of him.
Yeah, the high horse? That one cracks me up.
No, like...
Oh, his regular account is just a parody of himself?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he cracks me up. I love that dude. Yeah, he's hilarious.
So getting on to him, he's got a couple good questions. What brought you to DCFC, and NGS? We'll start with that. What brought you to DCFC and NGS?
I was trying to remember, like, if I read it in the paper or if I saw it on Facebook or something. I mean, I saw something online about it coming up, and I remember signing up, you know, about the emails we were talking about earlier. I remember signing up, and I'm a little ashamed to admit that I was kind of one of those people who thought, I'm going to go to a game and see like what this is all about before I go all in and buy season tickets. But I missed the very first home game. I wasn't here. I used to travel for work a lot. So my actually first game day experience with DCFC was away at Buffalo, which was the next day. And I just happened
You're the first Rouge Rover.
I was the first Rouge Rover. I just happened to be, I just happened to be working in Buffalo at the time. And I remember saying to the newsroom that I was working in, listen, I'm going to take a long lunch, because we were working the night shift. And I said, I'll be back in like 3 hours. You know, you guys are cool, right? You have my cell phone number. Yeah. So I run out of the newsroom. I stop at Old Navy because I needed to find a Rouge t-shirt. And I just, but no, t-shirt. Like I, you know, so I show up and I have this Rouge t-shirt on and I'm standing there. And I had been like tweeting at the city account, like, oh, I'm going to be at the game. Is there, what's the story? Like, you know, whatever. And they hadn't responded at all.
Yeah, so I was just like, I'm like sending Deshaun's phone and he was busy.
So actually it's funny you say that. So I get to the game, I'm standing there like in the stands, and there was a few like city parents there, like maybe
like
player parents there, but I'm standing there and I hear Novak, and I turn around and it was Sean.
Yeah.
And I had known Sean. He was friends with people I was friends with in high school, and he and I had played like pickup soccer together back in the day. But I hadn't seen him in like 15 years, you know? And I turn around and I was like, what the hell are you doing here? And he goes, I'm one of the owners. What are you doing here? And he's like, there's no supporters at this away game. Like, what are you doing? You know, because I'm wearing this like stupid, like plain rouge t-shirt that's not even really the right color. And so, yeah, that was my first day experience. And he had told me, you know, we sit there and talk the whole time. And it was a 0-0 draw. But an exciting
game.
Did
Buffalo had a supporter group yet?
They did.
Okay,
they
the Situation
had,
Room?
Yeah, the Situation Room was there. And they had, you know, like, there was maybe 15 or 20 of them.
Okay.
And they had, like, a guy with a horn. And they were playing NoFX songs, which is hilarious. And then they were drumming and singing Andrew W.K. songs.
Wait, we can talk about washed-up punk rocker now.
You're right. So, but anyway, so I said to Sean, I said, well, these guys, I mean, that looks fun, what those guys are doing. But they were, like, you know those guys. I mean, they were just riffing.
You know?
And he goes, trust me, when you get back to Detroit and you stand with the NGS folks, it's 1,000 times better than that. Like, he goes, we didn't expect, like, maybe a couple hundred people at the game. And he goes, we were blown away by the response. And it was just the day before. So you still, like, had the afterglow of, sorry.
Just banging on the mic. Can't
imagine. I tried to talk with my hands. So the next game, I think it was like the next weekend, I was home and I called Brandon Pompadour.
Yeah.
And I was just looking for someone to drag to the game with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm picking you up, put some pants on, I'm coming to your house, we're going to go. And I went and stood
with hair.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, and we stood with NGS, and I was hooked ever since.
Cool.
That was it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Can you elaborate what you mean by washed up punk rocker in your bio? That's at Crisco NGS.
Oh, man. In a former life, I was a, you know, at punk shows, I was the guy who's, all of his friends were in punk bands, and I just would carry amps to get into shows.
You have a punk band roadie.
Yeah, exactly. So it got me a drink ticket, a free PBR every now and then, and got me into a lot of $5, you know, shows at Smalls. a friend of mine and I, we, you know, kind of sort of ran a label and put out some records for some folks around here. But, you know, every now and then, now it takes a lot for me to go to a show. And see, okay, you know, oh, the headliner's not going on until midnight. Nah, I'm gonna stay home.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's on a weekday. Nah, that's what it's like to be a washed up punk rocker.
Work in the morning.
Exactly. You know, there's like three tours I'll go to every year. You know, and so that I'm old. I'm just shy of 40. So you know, I'm washed up.
Red wants to know also if you cried when Sharda folded.
Tim definitely sobbed. Tim hasn't come out from under the bar. They're just putting, you know,
he's called in a bunch.
Exactly. All you can eat riblets and dollar Long Island's just putting them under there for him. But I'll be honest, like, you know, that was a little disappointing, that they did go under, you know, that. It was an easy away day. And I, you know, it was the Berkeley Moms and like, I mean, it had spawned so much.
There's a lot of inside jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mark.
Speaking of banners.
Yeah.
Memes. We got to do a, oh, hi, Mark, you know, like room.
I don't know. God, I don't like the room.
Oh, you don't
so
like
you can do that one.
Anyway. So, but anyway, all right. There was a lot of history because the Stars were like the first local team to start up after City.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of felt like they were our foil, you know, for a long time.
They were our doppelganger.
They were. And they made
that Boys in Rouge article.
And they made the, remember they made the documentary about the away day?
Oh, yeah.
And I did. I cut it. And it was just all the City parts. And it was like a document. It was a really well done documentary about City, you know?
Supposed to be for the Stars.
Yeah.
So speaking about away days, NGS Mackie had a late question, a phone in. What is the most ridiculous thing an owner or supporter or an opposing team has told you at an away day?
Oh, man. Let's see. There's a couple that I can think of recently they just happened last year. The one Milwaukee, when we were on the bus and the owner from Milwaukee is...
Daddy.
The guy who invented us, right? He was sending Cass, I think it was Cass, right? Messages about... all the things we weren't allowed to do. And so, you know, we weren't
like
allowed
making
to,
them up.
Yeah, we were exactly. And we weren't allowed to swear, and there was no banners with vulgarity and whatever, all these kind of things that are sometimes part of away days and they're normal. But then it got into, you can't wear shirts if they have swear words on them. That was the one I remember. We were all threatening, and trust me, this is a threat when you talk about me, to go full ultra shirtless the whole game. I think me and like Johnny Abdal were like, we're just going to go shirtless, and they'll be horrified. They'll be begging
us
to put
your shirt.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care if it says the F word on it. Put it back on. So that was one of the most ridiculous ones. And then Indiana, of course, the guy threatening to arrest us, the walking tennis ball.
I was,
that came over.
I was ready to get arrested for you guys.
Oh, God.
I was like, do it, because I will fight this.
That was so absurd. I've never seen Donovan have to make so many walks over, like Daddy
Papa
walks.
Don.
Yeah, Papa Don walking over. And you know, that was like a record. I think he walked over 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think those are the most ridiculous. Of course, the pat-downs at Sharda years ago, where we snuck in the confetti.
in bras and underwear.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, they told us before the game, you know, no smoke, and they give us a set of rules, and somebody found our way around them. Yeah, somebody said, well, they didn't say no confetti, right? So someone went to Party City or whatever and bought, like, they were handing out, remember, they were handing
we're
out bags
away
of party.
All of our secrets.
Yeah, they're handing out bags this is too good a story, though. So they're handing out bags of this confetti to all the supporters, and we were all stuffing it in our pockets. Well, we knew we were going to get patted down. So we're waiting in line, and I see people getting patted down. Well, I stupidly opened the bags of confetti
and emptied them
in my pockets. And so I get up to the line, and the guy pats me down, and he reaches into my pocket and pulls out this handful of confetti, and he goes, go stand over there and empty your pockets. And there was like a little table there where they had been stacking up all the bags that they had confiscated from everybody.
Of confetti.
Yeah. And
they
were
confiscated. I didn't know they confiscated.
Oh,
the confetti.
And they set them like on this table, and they were just like a pile of them. So I'm standing there emptying my confetti pockets into the trash can, and the security guards turn around and start patting down more people. And I realized they're not paying attention to me. And I said, hey, am I good? And he goes, yeah. And I had meanwhile stuffed like
all the bags
of confetti that they had confiscated in my jacket. And so I walked over and, you know, so we got the confetti in.
Nice. God, that's so funny. Am I good? Yeah, go.
One of my prouder moments.
You do what you have to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I just had a phone in question from Jackie.
just under the deadline.
Just under the deadline. As a capo, what's your favorite chant?
I love, there's a personal reason for this one too, is suck so much.
God,
I love that one.
That's my favorite.
The video that, who is it?
Michael Kitchen.
Oh my God. The video of that
San
is,
Arbor.
But it can just go on and I love it. But the personal reason I love it so much is because of the Milwaukee bus trip. I got up, it was like 7 in the morning, and we're
You'd
all
already
just,
been on the bus 3 hours. Already,
yeah, exactly. We're all looking for something to do. And Amit had like a stack of like 80 billion hymnals to fold. Right. And so we're
if
just
you're
like,
in NGS yeah. and you don't know about what folding hymnals are, just contact Joe.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we got a job for you.
Yeah. The hymnals are the song books, right? With all the chants, and we hand those out to the new supporters, but they have to be folded.
Manually.
Exactly.
In a certain way.
Yeah. Well, turns out, so I get up in front of the whole bus and I said, okay, so we're all going to fold hymnals, and I'm handing out stacks of them. And I said, this is how you fold them. And I told the whole bus.
Like, you were like a stewardess.
Yeah. Right.
Like you got your seatbelt, you click it together, you fold it hamburger style, hot dog style, make a cut, unfold it, put it back together.
Exactly. But I told everybody the wrong way of doing it. And so someone shouts like, that's the wrong way, you know? And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And then I hear, hey, Novak, I want to know why you suck so much.
Ooh. Ah.
So yeah, that was, you know, that's part of the reason I love that.
So the whole bus was chanting it at you.
The whole bus. Yeah.
That's great. See, it's like the one away day I didn't get to last year.
It was so much fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, I think we're coming up on an hour, and I try to keep these to an hour. So anything else you want to add in? Anything you want to say?
Just that, like, you know, the most important thing to, and I've said this 1,000 times, is to just get involved.
Yeah.
don't be afraid if it's something you aren't, you know, it's not something you know how to do. I'm not a web developer, but I run the website, right?
I don't think any of us could tell. I don't think any of us do the things we do for NGS. I don't think any of us do it in real life.
Yeah, yeah. So
we all just kind of learn. We just take the opportunity to learn.
Exactly, exactly. sometimes it's a little painful, but, yeah. You know, we get there in the end. But, you know, we're always looking for people to help either do new things or help with existing things. And if you can contribute a little, you can contribute a lot. We're happy to have you.
What's the best way for people to contact you?
The best way is on Twitter, Joseph Slovak. So JOSEPHSLOWV as in Victor, AK.
Cool. And if you can't remember that, you can always tweet at Northern Guard and we will forward you to him. Thanks guys for listening. As always, please subscribe and give me the 5-star rating on iTunes. It helps with our with our algorithms, and thank you for listening. As always, Buck Ohio.